Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Welcome to the Patrice Brantley Show. We're helping others is the name of the game. And on this show, we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth. Today, I have the pleasure of bringing back Ms. Josephine. Y'all remember, she was the doctor that gave us the 7 steps to healthy health and a better life. Well, guess what? She's adding author to her resume now. Okay, so as we jump into this, we're going to talk about what's been going on, what inspired this book, and all these great things. But y'all know how I love to do. Tell me what's your story. So give us, for those who are new to us, how we connected and what were you doing at that time?
Oh, so you and I, we connected through the Life on Fire Academy.
Yeah.
So I been going to the academy, I think, for the past 2 years. And I saw you were inviting people to come to your show. And I'm like, oh, this is something that I'd like to try. I'd like to, you know, develop my public speaking skills. Okay. So that's how I met Patrice. Okay.
So in the midst of this, and yes, I always am looking for people. So if y'all know somebody, send them on over. So we were here. This is your story. When we first spoke and connected, you were telling us about how to stay healthy. You know, with all this stuff going on with COVID, everybody was so concerned about how can I stay healthy and what can I do? And if y'all have not had a chance to catch it, please go back, check out the archives. She gave us an amazing 7 steps to stay healthy. But today, I'm not really talking to like the doctor of you. I'm getting a chance to connect to the new and improved author. Talk to me about what inspired this change to move from a doctor and really share your personal story in your new book. So talk to me, what inspired that change?
Okay, well, even though I am a nurse practitioner, I had a lot of fear of that virus because facing a virus is really not, it's not a joke. Wow. It's, you know, something that you cannot see, and then you gotta, and it's there, and you gotta be prepared for it, and you gotta protect yourself. So I am also a very spiritual person besides being a physical person who takes care of people's physical health. So behind my fears, you know, I am like, I was looking for ways to cope with that, to really feed my spiritual side. So I went back to reading the Bible. And I was at first thinking, maybe I'm going to look for a cure in the Bible. Is there a cure in the Bible? Sometimes I feel like, you know, the Bible hides everything. There is a solution for everything in the Bible as being a Christian. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to be looking for a cure maybe or something, whatever. So that's how I started to read it. My first story that I read was the story of Noah. I'm like, huh, Noah was confined in a place. I wonder if I could, you know, if this is like a quarantine. So read the story of Noah, was there with his sons and 2 daughters, in-laws, and his wife and all those animals. And then I'm like, oh, this story is fascinating. So I decided I'm gonna start writing about confinement, just really, not really because of being sick, but just, you know. So I looked at the story of Noah, what they were doing there and what was the purpose of all that. And then I decided I was going to create a Facebook group and see if I can find some friends who would be willing to be searching the Bible with me for people who were confined and what was the purpose of their confinement.
So let me go back for a second. So you mentioned a couple of things. You talked about at first, in the midst of being a nurse practitioner, mm-hmm. having that fear of the virus. Because right. I know for so many people, especially even for me, because I work in the mental health field as well, right. I was talking to a lot of people daily who were saying either one of 2 things. No, the virus is real and I'm really scared. Or no, it's a hoax and, you know, all of that jazz. And it's not easy to tell someone, hey, to embrace your fear or embrace the unknown. How do you cope with that mentally?
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. I was looking for ways to cope with that. I am like, and then I'm looking for situations where people were trapped somewhere, and then it was, you know, they came out of it and there was a purpose for it. So that's kind of the train of thoughts behind the book.
So when you started writing about this, your first piece was on confinement.
Unconfined, yeah. Well, I was looking for quarantine. My first question was, is quarantine in the Bible? That was the question I was trying to answer by going to the Bible stories. Is quarantine in the Bible? So, and I'm like, oh yeah, it is. But then I'm like, I don't really want to do the sick part of it. I thought it was really a lot more fun to just look at other scenarios where people were confined, but not because they were sick, because, you know, because of something. Like, no, I was there because God told him to be there, or, you know, you gotta, you know, everybody who's not in that ark is going to perish. So he had to, you know, be in that ark.
Yeah. So in the midst of this, You took a very interesting route, and I actually like your route. You took a route of, I know that I'm going through this. I want to make sure that, you know, I have an anchor of my faith to help me through. And you went into the Bible and you said, looking for either a cure or a way to cope.
Cope, right.
And you're here, you go to Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're reading Noah, what did that give you? Were there any lessons in the book of Noah for you?
Yes, I am like looking at the length of time he was in there, for instance. I always thought he was there for just 40 days. I don't know, you know, when you read the Bible, you miss a lot of things. So I'm like, oh, he wasn't the, no. And then I looked at, you know, closer, and I'm like, no, they were there for a good 371 days.
Wow.
So imagine being, I mean, even if you like cruising, I don't think you would want to be on a cruise for 300 days. Yeah. And then I'm looking at, it was a time when, you know, there's no electricity, no running water, no, none of that luxury that we have now, no iPhones, no, you know, Instagram, Facebook, none of that stuff. And these people are there in a boat for 371 days. So I'm like, let me see how they cope with it. So, you know, I imagined a lot of things. I added a lot of imagination to my stories, like, you know, how, what must have been, they been doing, you know, maybe, you know, were they cooking, and what were they using to do cooking, and the animals, was feeding the animals, what, how did they, you know, how did they survive? So I looked at their survival for those 371 days, and I'm like, we're a lot better off than they are, because we can still communicate with our family members. We have, you know, telephones, we have landlines, we have cell phones, we have all the type of media, the Skype, the Zoom, everything else to communicate with each other. So I was looking at things like that to say, you know, if they survive, we can survive too.
So it sounds like in this particular chapter, you kind of focused a lot more on the relationships, having that communication, connection, being right, social without necessarily being in the presence of the of another person. Right. So take me from being in that space of confinement to the next space. What was the next chapter?
Okay, the next chapter was Moses. I looked at how that baby was born at a time when a king had decided that they should kill all the boys. And his mom decided that she's not gonna let that little boy perish. There was something about this boy, this baby boy, and she decided to hide him. So I called it like a quarantine in the closet. I don't know where exactly was she hiding him. So I looked at it as he was in the closet, and then mom had to let him go. And again, she had to put him in that little basket on the Nile River, where he got picked up by the princess, and his life was spared. And we know how he's the one who was gonna serve a great purpose by saving people from a famine that was going to be happening years and years after that. So it was because of, I'm getting confused. Moses is the one who was, he was going to lead the people out of Israel.
So as I'm hearing you say this, I mean, I know this is your book, but like the first thing came to my mind was born during the time of adversity. Like I'm hearing you talk about him being put in a place where he's being literally sheltered and confined,
right?
So moving to a space that after a while he was rescued, and he was rescued to move into his purpose.
Yes.
Okay, let's keep going. I'm liking this. Come on, you're giving me good stuff here. because I'm realizing that as I'm talking to you, I'm realizing that, you know, I know we're still in this pandemic and everybody has kind of figured out we're still going to open the world up and do what we want to do, but you need these coping skills. And the coping skill for you was that you went into your word, and as you went into the Bible, you started looking for books and characters and stories that really connected to you at the time. And I have to tell you, I've read Noah several times. I had never come up with 371 days, but it's something to see when you realize that just like we've experienced some of those things, some of those characters have experienced things that we've experienced, and they were looking for coping skills as well. And we're kind of looking back at them to find things to help us. When you talk about Moses, you spoke about him being born but walking into a later purpose. Do you feel like this shift or this added side to you is another purpose for you?
Yeah, so the subtitle of my book is Discerning Your Purpose During a Time of Confinement. So that was, you know, definitely what I was looking forward to by searching all those stories. You know, what is the purpose for us? I know we're looking at them and sometimes we read the Bible as, you know, well, this happened so many, you know, thousands of years ago, and that has nothing to do with me. But I was looking at those stories to see, you know, what was the purpose of these people suffering or going through the hard times that they were going through? And then what is our purpose? How does that relate to us? So, you know, so what could be, you know, the lessons that we could learn from our own experiences in this?
So what were like your top five lessons out of this for you? I know you've written this book and the book is amazing. Mm-hmm. What are those top five lessons that you walked away with?
Okay, well, I would say my lessons that are, it's like everything happens for a reason. And when things are happening, instead of just getting depressed about it and whining and having a pity party, which I was doing, to tell you the truth, at first, we can always look to see, is there a reason why it's happening? Is it happening to grow us? Is it happening to change us? Is it happening to strengthen us?
To grow, to strengthen. I like that. Go ahead. Right. Because sometimes, I mean, I'll be honest, when the first part of COVID came, I was still working. I've been working the whole time. I really honestly believe I've been working more now than I had before. Okay. And I didn't understand it at the time, as you said, that's why I kind of chimed onto those three words. It really was a time of me learning to grow, strengthen, and be changed and step out of those comfort zones. Go ahead. Right. What were some other lessons you got out of this?
So I feel like, we're all born like, I like to use the term caterpillar. We all caterpillars. And nobody wants to stay caterpillar. We all want to be butterflies. And unfortunately, to be changed from a caterpillar to a butterfly, there has to be a process. And the process is not an easy process. And no caterpillar has ever changed into a butterfly without, you know, a suffering, without shedding, without, you know, something happening to that body, and you can't help them. So in a way, I feel like, you know, same thing. Things gonna happen to us in life, and we really cannot be helped. We have to find our own way of exploding out of that situation to become the person that we have to be. So I felt like the second thing I would say, yeah, that was one reason the pandemic is still happening. It's, I feel like there is a force behind it trying to get us to grow out of our comfort zone and become the people that we're supposed to be.
So I love how you talk about moving the force behind us. I mean, for me, I always said that at the beginning of COVID, and I still say it, this is a time of rebirth. This is a time of a reset and a rebirth where you find things that kind of was fitting in the world before don't no longer fit. Like, you know, if you think about like the workday, a lot of people's workday has changed now. They don't work the standard 8 to 5, or maybe they don't even work in the office anymore. You know, things have changed. So for you, how did that play in your own personal life? In that rechange, that revamping and changing around?
Well, I had to make a lot of adjustments too. And I wasn't really seeing patients by Zoom before the pandemic, but it was really rare. So now that has become predominantly my way of seeing people. So, and then a lot of clients are enjoying it. So I feel like there are things that we have left behind that we're never going to go back to, unfortunately.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, I have a couple of my nieces who are working from home, and they're like, they're never going to go back to the office.
That's what, hey, it's a great commute.
What am I saying? I'm home and working from home. So I feel like, you know, those are the positive things that have happened during the pandemic that we are experiencing, that, you know, people are working in the pajamas and they don't have to spend the money on gas. They don't have to sit in traffic for a few hours sometimes. Because like my niece used to take 1.5 hours to get to work. And now she's like, okay, I'm just, you know. So, yeah, I feel like, you know, all those things are very positive things that have happened during the pandemic, and that we actually have to think of, because that, you know, when something like that is going on, we tend to see all the bad, you know, we tend to see, you know, people dying. I'm not saying that, you know, that it wasn't serious, that people were not really dying. Some, you know, a lot of people have lost loved ones, which I'm really sorry, and I sympathize with them. But then I was really looking for cues of the good, the positive, and the ways that we are growing.
So it's
adopting new things.
I was going to say, it sounds like you really took that time to adopt and adapt to newness, to kind of stepping into the newness. And it's interesting you made the statement of, you know, there are a lot of things that we're not going to be going back to.
Right.
And I think this was a time, I believe, and I know this was a time for us to, like you say, come out of our shells, become that butterfly that you were created to be, to move into what you've been called into. How can someone benefit from picking up this book you have?
Okay, well, like I said, I've gone over 15 different stories in the Bible where people were confined. And I kind of looked at, you know, what happened with them, and then what was the next step? What happened after? It's almost like Noah was in that boat when they got out. And the Bible doesn't tell us, but I kind of, you know, imagined what happened. They had to rebuild. They had to, you know, and then they probably had to adapt to new stuff and recreate, and, you know. So, I think people can pull on that to see how we can restart or we can make progress and transform things that we already have and create new things and adapt to new ways of life, new lifestyles.
So you pulled these 15 stories. Was Noah your favorite one, or did you have a different one that really kind of lit your fire?
Noah was not really my favorite.
wasn't your favorite, so who was?
Yeah. So actually, my favorite one was the last one that I have there, is the quarantine to receive the Holy Spirit. And it's very relevant since we just had Easter.
Yes.
So I have that, the disciples, after Jesus was resurrected, they were hiding in some upper room. So I call that a quarantine to wait for the Holy Spirit. Or they didn't know what they were waiting for, but they were hiding there. And Jesus had told them to stay there in Jerusalem until you receive power. So they were waiting, but they had no clue what it was. So, so that was my favorite one. As a Christian, I feel like this is the force that gets us to really be transformed from being that caterpillar to a butterfly, because the disciples were in that room, they were scared. They had witnessed that Jesus was crucified, and we know how a lot of them had ran away. They did not even stay with Jesus, or Peter, who was trying to stay, ended up denying him, and things like that. So they were scared, and they really did not know what was next. But yeah, so they were hiding there. So that's my favorite quarantine story.
So it sounds like that's the story of moving into the next chapter, the next episode.
Because we all need something to trigger us, to change, to empower us. And once the disciples received that Holy Spirit, they were bold. They had no fear to go out there, even though they were persecuted and things were happening to them, but they were like, on fire. They're on fire for spreading the word, which that was the whole turning point for them. So something had happened with them, and I'm like hoping that this is one thing that would happen with us Christians too, that we all experience the receiving of the Holy Spirit, because without that, we cannot move forward.
So how can people pick up their copy of this book?
It's available at Amazon, and I just received a whole bunch of them today that I ordered my my copies from Amazon. So you can, if you type my name, The Blessings of Quarantine is the name of it.
Okay.
So you will find that on Amazon. It's on Kindle, the Kindle version. I only put it for $2.99. So I think everybody can afford that. That's just the little tape. And then if you want to get the book itself, it's $14.99.
Okay.
And yep.
So leave us with some last words for you. What were some of the blessings that came out for you during quarantine?
I think, like I said, one of the blessings for me too is not to have to be in the office all the time, because working remotely too has been something that I've been doing. And then spending time with my family. Yeah, my daughters were away in college, but they were able to come home and going to school from home. So that's the second thing that happened with me. And then, and that allowed me to write the book, of course. So that's my blessing, is to have the time, because I've been thinking about writing a book. I did not really have a particular topic in mind, but that topic came in handy. And the timing,
like it on time.
Time to write it was, amazing. And then I've had the chance to do a lot of reflections, you know, reading and then, you know, see life with a different eyes, like forgiving. I've let go of a lot of griefs during this time. And it's like, you know, I'm like, you know, our real enemy is the pandemic. Our real enemy is the disease. Our real enemy is the virus. So I'm like, we don't need to have enemies. We don't need to be mad at each other. We can let go of things that happened in the past and start brand new. So those were the lessons that I personally, you know, learned during the pandemic.
Well, I want to thank you for coming through and sharing with us the blessings of quarantine and the lessons that you've learned out of this. I think it's an amazing experience of seeing the quarantine from a different view. I think for so many people, it was this big annoyance and people lost jobs and everybody saw the negative, but nobody really saw what the positives was. So I want to thank you for coming and sharing what were these positives during the quarantine and how we can continue to keep growing and building and healing those relationships that we really need to heal to move forward. So that time during this quarantine or during the quarantine would be good, a helpful, and a plentiful time of restoration for us. Thanks so much. I want to thank you all for tuning in to the Patrice Brantley Show, where on this show we push purpose, positivity, and personal growth.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcasts. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.